7th canto, chapter 7, what Prahlad learned in the womb. Jai Shri Shri Radha Rashbihari Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7th chapter, text 28. Therefore, my dear friend, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. Please repeat after me. Therefore, my friend, O sons of the demon, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam chajo abhyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatit tvaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. By the practice of Bhakti Yoga, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform, transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. The root of ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. The word bija nirharanam refers to burning the root cause of material life to ashes. In the Medini dictionary, yoga is explained by its result. Yoga apurvartha samprapto sangati dhyana yuktishu. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called yoga. This is also called liberation. Muktir hittannatha rupam. Mukti means giving up one's position in ignorance or illusion by which one thinks in a way contrary to his constitutional position. Returning to one's constitutional position is called mukti, and the process by which one does this is called yoga. Thus, yoga is above karma, jnana and Sankhya. Indeed, yoga is the ultimate goal of life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to become a yogi. Tasma yogi bhavarjuna. Lord Krishna further advised in Bhagavad Gita that the first class yogi is he who has come to the platform of devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate jo mam Shame Yukta Tamo Matah. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Thus, one who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart is the best yogi. By practicing this best of all yoga system, one is liberated from the material condition. Tasmad bhavadhi kartevyam karmanam srigunatmanam vija nirharanam yogaha prabaho paramo dhiya. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature, and stop the flow of intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. So, Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his friends, the sons of demons. The knowledge that he received from Narad Muni when he was in the womb of his mother. A self-realized soul or a very advanced spiritual personality does not get into ignorance even after death or even when he is in his mother's womb. We have seen with Bharat Maharaj, although he got a deer's body, but he remembered his previous life activities. He remembered what happened to him in his previous life. And here also we are seeing that Prahlad Maharaj, although in the womb of his mother, he was fully conscious. And there he could register, not only hear, but he could register in his memory what he heard through his mother from Narada. Another such example is Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu, when he was in his mother's womb, when he was in the womb of his mother, Subhadra, at that time Arjun was telling her how to enter into Chakravyuha. And sitting in the womb of his mother, Abhimanyu also heard and he remembered. But the only thing is that at that time, Abhimanyu's consciousness was linked with his mother's consciousness. Therefore, when Subhadra fell asleep, then he also fell asleep. So actually, the registration or perception was taking place through the via medium of his mother. So when the mother fell asleep, he also fell asleep. And that is why Abhimanyu knew how to enter into Chakravyuha, but he didn't know how to come out of the Chakravyuha. Because he heard only up to how to enter, but he didn't hear the section or the portion how to come out. And that is the reason why Abhimanyu was actually got trapped in Chakravyuha and was killed by the Sapta Maharathi, seven Maharathi. That day, during the fight, the Pandava army was being slaughtered so badly and Arjun was taken away, and by some strategy created by Drona, that Arjun was not around, and through the Chakrabruha they attacked, and Abhimanyu was the only one who knew how to enter, but he didn't know how to come out. And the other Pandavas assured him that you just go in and along with you we will enter. But unfortunately, when Abhimanyu entered, Yudhishthir, Bhima and Nakula and Sahadev could not enter because Jayadrath was guarding the gate of the Vyuha. And that day Jayadrath has had the special benediction that he will remain invincible to the Pandavas. So Abhimanyu was alone in the middle of the Vyuha, in the middle of the army phalanx of the Kauravas, but still he alone, although alone, he fought so valiantly that the entire army couldn't defeat him. The entire army, including the great, great Maharathis like Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, etc. So finally they had to actually cut his weapons and kill him when he was without standing there without any weapon. The last weapon that he was fighting with was a broken wheel of a chariot, or rather the chariot of a broken wheel. Sorry, the wheel of a broken chariot. He was fighting with that, and that also they cut to pieces. And then when he was standing there barehanded, they killed him. So in this way we can see that great personalities, very advanced personalities, they remember what is going on, even though they may be in the womb of his mother, or they may be in a body which is actually subhuman, which belongs to the subhuman species, like Bharat Maharaj in the body of a deer, and Prahlad Maharaj in the womb of his mother, Abhimanyu in the womb of his mother. These personalities are called Jatishmar, one who can remember his past lives. Jai Shri Shri Radha Rajpihari Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki. Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki. So Prahlad Maharaj became Krishna conscious even when he was in the womb of his mother. And this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, he was imparting unto his friends, demoniac friends. At that time, how old was Prahlad Maharaj? He was only 5 years old. Just a 5-year-old boy had the perfect understanding of Krishna consciousness. And in the previous verses, he explained how mind and intelligence is the cause of our bondage. He explained previously how a living entity has two bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. And within this gross and subtle bodies is the spirit soul. And it is the subtle body which is the cause of the real bondage of a living entity. The subtle body consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego. And now he is explaining that how one should become free from this bondage of fruitive activities through the process of Krishna consciousness. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how this is the perfect yoga system. The word yoga means to become linked up with the Supreme Personality of God. Any process that helps a living entity to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is yoga. Therefore, all these processes have been considered to be yoga, like Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Sankhya Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Raja Yoga. There are so many such yogas. But the ultimate consideration is Krishna consciousness, which is known as pure devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti. Actually, the process of yoga links one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it does not link to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it cannot be considered as yoga. Nowadays, we see that so-called yogis go to the Western countries. They are also opening their schools here in India. They had been having their schools in India since a long time, but now they found a very good market in the West. And in the West, they are using this yoga for what? To be successful in their business, to have a peaceful, to have the peace of mind, to increase their memory, to increase their vitality, and also to increase their sexual potency. So these are the objectives of yoga nowadays. As a matter of fact, in early 70s, I saw one ad in a railway station in Germany, in an underground station in Germany, in Hamburg city. It literally mentioned these points, that such and such yogi is giving yoga lessons whereby one can have a peace of mind, healthy body, and success in his business. And the ultimate point he meant is and have sexual power. So, and now these are not yoga. These are not the objectives of yoga. That reminds me also when Giriraj Maharaj was searching for spiritual life, he also came across a yogi who was teaching how to turn the colons upside down so that one can have a clear motion, so that one can pass stool nicely. So these have become the objectives of yoga nowadays. But from the scriptures we can see that the purpose of yoga is to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to Patanjali, the first aphorism of yoga, the yoga chitta vritti nirodha, the purpose of yoga or objective of yoga is to cease the activities of chitta or mind. Chitta vritti, mind, and vritti is the propensities, or literally it can be translated as waves. In the pool of our mind, there are waves of thoughts. And the purpose of yoga is to stop those waves. And here also we can see the similarity of Patanjali's yoga and Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process of Sankirtan. The similarity, Patanjali is saying Chitta Vritti Nirodha, and an example is given that just as on a pool of water, when there are many waves, then you can't see the reflection properly. But when the waves cease, then the reflection becomes clear. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also saying, Cheto Darpana Marjana. So Chitta and Cheta is actually the same. Same substance, mind stuff. And chanting of the holy name of Krishna clears the mirror of the mind. Here the mind has been, or Chitta, has been compared to a mirror. And when the mirror is dirty, then we can't see the reflection in the mirror properly. Therefore, the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord cleanses the mind so that one can see the reflection. And reflection of what? In the mind stuff, we see the reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the reflection of the spiritual reality. Similarly, Patanjali is also saying that by practicing the process of yoga, Chitta Vritti Nirodha, the vritti or the waves of thoughts in the mind stops, so that one can perceive the Supreme Reality. Now there is a little difference between Patanjali's yoga and Krishna consciousness, that in the yoga system they just speak about Chitta Vritti Nirodha, the stopping the vritti or the propensity or the activities of the mind. So this stopping leads one to a state of neutrality, which may mean that there is no more thoughts in the mind. But Krishna consciousness is the process of transforming the negative thoughts into a positive thought. Instead of thinking about matter, think about Krishna. And the further explanation or clarification has been given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is specifically saying man mana bhava. Like, he is not saying that don't think, stop the activities of mind completely. But Krishna is saying that make the activities that are now negative into positive. So if we consider it graphically, then we can see that yoga is actually taking one from this so-called yoga system, is taking one from the negative region into the region of neutrality, or the line of, or state of neutrality. In the graph, there is this negative side and the positive side, and in between there is the axis, zero. So they are just taking one to that zero region. But Krishna consciousness is crossing over that axis of zero and in leading one to the positive platform. That's why Prabhupada is very emphatically pointing out in the purport that when one takes to Krishna consciousness, it has to be understood that he is already liberated, provided he doesn't fall down. That is, Prabhupada very emphatically pointed out, one who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. So one becomes liberated as soon as one accepts the process of Krishna consciousness. In some other place, Prabhupada is giving the explanation that there are two sides of our existence. One is the material body and the spirit soul. Now, in a conditioned state, the spirit soul and material body are very closely linked together. So close that you can't actually separate the soul from the body. For a conditioned living entity, he can't distinguish between the soul from the body, because the body and the soul are so closely tied together. And in this respect, Prabhupada gives the example of a coconut. A green coconut, the pulp or the kernel of the coconut is completely connected, so fully connected to the coconut, shell of the coconut. But when the coconut becomes ripe, then the kernel of the coconut becomes completely separated from the coconut. And then when you shake the coconut, then you can hear that it is making sound. And that proves that it has been completely separated. Now the process of Krishna consciousness, now obviously it is clear that here the kernel of the coconut is the spirit soul, and the shell of the coconut is the material body. Now Krishna consciousness, the process of Krishna consciousness is somewhat like the separation of the kernel from the shell of the coconut. And as soon as the coconut is plucked from the, picked from the tree, the process of separation actually begins. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is somewhat like when one accepts Krishna consciousness, he is actually separated from the tree. He has become plucked from the tree. And the process of separation already started. Although in the beginning we cannot see that, we cannot understand that. Because still the coconut is quite closely connected to the kernel is quite closely connected to the shell. But actually the process of separation already started. And it is a matter of time. In due course of time it will become completely separated. So that's why Prabhupada is pointing out emphatically that unless and until one remains and doesn't fall down in Krishna consciousness. Therefore one should be very, very careful not to give up the process of Krishna consciousness. If we don't give up the process, then it is guaranteed that someday we will become liberated, completely liberated. Not only liberated, this the achievement, the ultimate achievement of Krishna consciousness is far beyond liberation. For a devotee, Mukti Devi, liberation personified, with folded hands, begs for some service. And devotee does not actually desire liberation. That even if liberation is offered to him, a devotee does not want it, doesn't desire it. Therefore, it has been mentioned that those who have accepted the process of Krishna consciousness, it has to be understood that they have already been liberated. But one should be very, very careful not to fall down, not to slip out of that position that they have achieved. From that point of liberation, they shouldn't come down to the state of condition once again. They should always remain in that liberated state. And this will gradually lead them to the point of pure devotional service. And that pure devotional service is the elevation to the topmost region of the spiritual sky, where a devotee develops a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a very, very intimate way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And that is the teaching, that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has offered. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift is, or the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings is, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesho Tanay, the Supreme Worshipable Lord is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Taddhama Vrindavanam, and his abode is Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu's teachings is that the Supreme Worshipable Lord is Krishna, and not only Krishna, Krishna of Vrindavan, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Not Dwarakesh Krishna or Mathuresh Krishna. not Vasudev Krishna or Devaki Nandan Krishna. He is specifically saying that the Aradhya Bhagavan is Brajendra Nandan Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj. And Staddhamo Vrindavanam, his abode is Vrindavan. Ramma Kachid Upashana Brajavodhu Vargena Jakulpita. And the way the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan worship Krishna, that is the highest form of worship. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. The proof is the spotless Puran, Srimad Bhagavat. And Prema Pumartha Mahan. The ultimate goal of life is to develop that love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Nahar. This is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. This is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and accept these teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wholeheartedly. So in this way, we can see that Srila Prabhupada has given us the highest gift from the spiritual sky, following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just as here Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his friends that please consider that the ultimate goal of life is to accept Krishna consciousness. So we also have to understand that the ultimate goal of life is to accept the process of Krishna consciousness the way Srila Prabhupada gave it to us, and practice it with all sincerity, and do not ever deviate, do not ever fall down. And once we have got this, once we have been elevated to the spiritual sky, spiritual platform, then why should we give up that elevated position and fall down? We somehow or other, we must remain in Krishna consciousness. And also for the sake of remaining in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada made the perfect arrangement. And that is the association of devotees. We can see that how safe it is, how safe we are when we are in the association of devotees. But the moment we give up the association of devotees, it becomes very, very dangerous for us. Like, if we can see, there are so many big devotees, very strong, very powerful, very fixed up devotees, sannyasis. When they drifted away from the association of devotees, they went back to the lap of Maya. Whereas very weak devotees, those who are in the association, they are still going strong without falling down. Therefore, we must always be very, very concerned about not to ever give up the association of devotees. If we are in the association of devotees, then we are safe. But if we give up the association of devotees, no matter how strong, how powerful we may be, Maya will be stronger. Krishna said, Daivi Hesha Gunamoi Mamo Maya Durathaya. Maya is very, very strong. It is practically impossible to overcome. But just as Mamevaja Prapadante Maya Metang Taranti. When one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then one can very easily overcome this influence of Maya. And Maya is very strong because Maya is Krishna's potency. But association of devotees is even stronger than Maya. Why? Because Maya, although it is Krishna, she is Krishna's potency, Maya is Krishna's external potency. Whereas the association of devotees is Krishna's internal potency. And the internal potency is stronger than the external potency. Therefore, if we remain in the association of devotees, Maya won't be able to do us anything. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this Sankirtan movement, Bohubhir Militva. many devotees together. And Srila Prabhupada gave us ISKCON, where Prabhupada made the perfect arrangement for the devotees to be together and be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So if we remain in the association of devotees in ISKCON, then we will one day positively go back to the spiritual sky. There's no doubt about that. It may wane, that doesn't matter. And therefore our prayer is Mamo Janmoni Janmonishwari Bhavatarpitam. Janmoni Janmonishwari, life after life, let us remain in Krishna consciousness. Let us serve your lotus feet, my Lord. Devotee doesn't really care so much about liberation. But devotee cares only for the service. And service is beyond liberation. So if we can remain in the service of Krishna in the association of devotees, then liberation will become a secondary consideration. Therefore, it is very important for us to pray to Krishna, pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pray to our acharyas, that we can offer this life without any deviation to the service of Krishna and his devotees. And not only this life, life after life. And that is the ultimate perfection of our existence. Hare Krishna, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment? Maharaj, do you have any comment? Hare Krishna. Maharaj? So does anybody have any? Yes, Mahaprabhu. Yes. Who was that? Who? Bhishma. Yeah. So the question is that Bhishma, although he was a Mahajan, then how did he side with the Kauravas and take part in killing of Ashwatthama? killing of Abhimanyu. The first point actually is that although Bhishma is a Mahajan, but he is not a pure devotee. He is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Therefore, for him, the question of morality was more important. He was considering, as a himself, a Kshatriya, and he was considering his duty as a Kshatriya. And as a Kshatriya, his duty is, whoever is his master, he must offer his life to him. Therefore, Bhishma considered that since he was maintained by the Kauravas, he has to be loyal to them, and there is no room for sentiment. And there is another anecdote that will probably clarify this point. You see, when Bhishma was lying in his bed of arrows, then Pandavas along with Krishna went to him And at that time, Bhishma was giving the instruction to Yudhishthir Maharaj on the duties of Kshatriyas and duty of the Niti, the duty of a person, the ultimate duty of a person. At that time, Draupadi smiled. Bhishma asked, he noticed it, and he asked Draupadi, "Draupadi, why are you smiling?" So Draupadi said, "Where was your question, where was your wisdom and morality when they were insulting me in the assembly and you are present there?" So Bhishma said that my consciousness at that time became contaminated because I was eating their food. I was eating the food of the Kauravas. Due to eating their food, my consciousness became contaminated. But now that I have been lying in the bed of arrows for so many days, all that blood has been drained out of my body. Therefore now my consciousness has become purified. So, another thing is that with a devotee, we should not consider what one has done in the past, but we should see what was the ultimate state of his consciousness. Like, for example, another Mahajan is Boli Maharaj. You know, he did so many things, but ultimately he surrendered himself to Krishna. Right? So that is the main consideration.